Have your Bibles, turn with you to different places, 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. The next place, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, 11 and 12. And I honestly thought when I got this, God was fixing to reveal something to me. He gave it to me about 2 or 3 months ago. That's not so. So, sweethearts, you just need to keep praying. You don't listen a little bit longer. We're not through this yet. First Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, and 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, and verse 12. And I want to say this. I thank God for being able to be in church again without a brother Shaver. I'll have to say, probably one of the best revivals I've ever had. Was a little church down below Cookville, down there just a little ways. That Brother Shaver had pastored one time. There were 5 or 6 souls saved in that revival, and I don't know how many people on the altar got help, but they even had a baptism. Right after that, I went the following Sunday, the following week, got to baptize those who got saved. And we was all invited, me and the one that was helping, Brother Jeff. Was invited, Jeff got to go, I couldn't go, I had to be in another town or another community to preach, and I missed out on that. But I thank God, Brother James, or Brother Shavers, what you mean to us, and all the blessings you've been out helped for us in churches we pastored in. Used to when I get to missing them, not getting to see them like I like to, I can just sit down and call and say, come preach and be right there with them. But it's not that way when you're out traveling. I thank God for Brother Jerry, what he's meant for us down through life and all of him and his family. They've been a blessing to us, no doubt they've been a blessing to you. And no doubt they've been a help to you if you let them be that help through and by that of the ways of God. And as we begin to read, I just want to say this. Church, each and every one of us, and I'm going to have to get a hold of some things, Brother Jerry. You got a hold of it first. I got a hold of it first. He just happened to get it before I got it out. But each and every one of us has our own ways of thinking. We all, each and every one, has things inside of us a lot of times that we don't want to reveal. I don't want to know about them. None of us do. That's things that you carry around that God knows each and every one of our hearts. He knows how we are. He knows how we think. And a lot of times we get in a little rut sometimes and not really knowing and not really realizing what we may be doing. And when it's all said and done, the hurt lays upon that itself. And that's what I want to try to do tonight is let God be a help to each and every one of us and to be a blessing to us. And tonight he might not show you what you want to see. But if you don't, he'll give you something that you can rejoice in.
Yeah.
Tonight you might not be receiving that you've been seeking for years and years. But I'll assure you, God's word is sure.
Yeah.
And on an appointed time, Brother Shavers, God will give you in due season what you need.
Yeah.
In the book of Peter, it says in 13, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the very trials which is to try you as though some strange things happen unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. The book of Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. It says, Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continuously. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his works and the judgments of his mouth. Now I want you to dwell upon this just a little while and think about this. But carrying around that of guilt of something that is no fault of your own. Now think about that. Carrying around guilt. And it's happened. Lost. But carrying guilt of something that is no fault of your own. Sometimes it gets thrown into us. We're not looking for it, not expecting it, not wanting it, but it's there. And for some 8 years I carried, 7, 8 years, I carried that around until this morning myself. Or not this morning, on about 11 o'clock when I actually got into the message that the Lord had given me late yesterday afternoon. Didn't get to study on it much until this morning. And for 8 years I carried something, not realizing what I was doing. It was considered concerning that of one of my wife's brothers. A situation I couldn't be there like I wanted to be there. But that didn't keep me from being guilty of what was going on. But as we began to get into the Word of God, a lot of times we look at things and we look at perspectives of different areas and different lives of other people, and we always want the best for them. And whatever they may be doing or wherever they may be going, even if we're lost and undone, we want the best for them. And I desire them to have the best of best down here, because if they don't make it right with the Lord, that's the best they'll ever see.
That's right.
Well, it will go downhill from that, and that of the depths of hell. But if we began to get in the Word of God and we began to look at that of the Scripture, I can recall that of a time in the book of John, or the book of Mark rather, whenever Christ had came down and been teaching that of the disciples about that, of how the worldly hearers and that of the earthly hearers and that of the spiritual hearers, and began to teach them about that of the sowing of the good seed and a parable which he gave. And whenever the night had began to leave and began to fall, they went down to that of the Sea of Galilee, and they entered into that of a ship. And I can recall that whenever they entered into the ship, and many other little ships were about them, and it was as though the day was just nothing within it except the joy and the happiness and the gladness they had with that of the Lord. And they no doubt was rejoicing in what they had just went through, and been in the presence of, and been able to hear that of the priest and the taught word of that of the Lord and Savior, and been able to get into the things that God really wanted to instill within their hearts. And no doubt that they was beginning to have joy within their heart. And all of a sudden, as they set sail into that of the sea, as they began to get on out into the shore, heading to the other side, that there was a time came whenever the winds began to come and they began to boast. And the Bible said that they had even filled their little boat. The waves were so great and mighty. But the disciples had been thrown into something that was no fault of their own. That brought a lot of fear and disturbance into that of their life. Just a few hours ago, everything was calm and smooth. Everything was going all right. But now they're in a situation, Brother Shavers, they can't understand. They're wondering, why? What have we done? What have we done to cause this to come upon us? But I believe they believe that they, at one point in their life, they began to come to their senses. They began to think about that of the old prophet Isaiah. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. My friend, I believe they began to realize that they was in a situation that they could not do anything about. It came upon them of no fault of their own. And they began to see their life's choice in life. And they began to look back and canter upon that of the old man of God and the old men of God in the old Bible and the things that Christ himself had taught them. And Lucas said, forevermore, he that asketh shall receive, and he that seeketh shall find, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. But they was in a situation, my friend, for they needed help, and they had the help they needed. Man couldn't get it to them. Before they was faced with something, all they seen was destruction. I believe as time went on, I believe they recalled the old men of God, and it says this, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart. The psalmist David says, seek the Lord in his strength. I believe immediately after they began to think and to realize the very one they needed was aboard the ship they was in, and they went down and began to call upon that of Christ, and they said, Lord, I would like you to save us unless we perish. And Christ came up in that of the lower parts of the ship, asleep on that of a pillar, and he began to stretch forth his hand, and he said, peace be still.
Praise the Lord.
The Bible said that the seas were calm. And he said, why, you men of little faith. You know, a lot of times our faith gets weak when we get thrown into something that's no fault of our own. I don't know about you, Brother Chambers, but I just can't get a hold of God like I can whenever things all going to the hunky door and all the flares that's nice and gloomed out in my life.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to get a hold of God then if it is. Or whenever it is, whenever we're thrown in something unexpected. But a lot of times we get to thinking about this. We get to thinking about that. And everything going on around us. We begin to see our friends. Maybe getting a scuffle or this or that. And before you know it, we're pulled right in the middle of it. We begin to feel guilty about what took place. Maybe there's something we could have said or done when we didn't need to be involved in it anyway.
Amen.
But we involve ourselves. Job, the Bible said that this man was a man of the land of Oz. And he was perfect and upright in that and the eyes of the Lord. As perfect as a man could be on this earth. And he said he eschewed evil. In other words, he stayed away from it. He tried his best to not let it be in his presence or be around him. And he said there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance was all sold. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen. Mm-hmm. And 500 she-asses and a great household.
Yeah.
And a very great household that this man was the greatest man in all that of the East. And my friend, I want you to look at this man just for a little bit. As you begin to look at Job, and I know Job is a book on that of faith. It's a book on that of your patience. How we must study it, and that's the way it's usually preached.
Yeah.
But my friend, I want to bring this out in a different way. But my friend, as we begin to get into that and look at Job's life just a little bit, here Job was slipped into a situation that was no fault of his own. All he wanted to do was love God and please God and serve God to the very best of his ability.
Yeah.
And I believe the Word of God shows us that's what he is doing. Of course, the Bible said that he loved the Lord. The Bible said he screwed that from evil. He stayed away from it. He sought the Lord. And my friend, God blessed him richly for it.
Yeah.
He was the richest man in all the East. One day the sons of God and Satan came calling, and God said, "Where go up thou?" And they said, "Up and down." And my friend, he asked them, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, still, God did not put this stuff on Job, but he allowed it to happen. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And then he said, "You go and you can do whatever you want to with him, but he'll not curse me." Job said, "You turn him over to me." He said, "He'll curse you." God said, "He will not." My friend, this is the point I want to get across tonight. Whenever everything was said and done, everything that Job had began to be taken. First his family, and then that of his substance. All of his camels, all of his asses, all of his substance that he was blessed with.
Yep.
All was taken and gone. I can imagine. No doubt Job probably started to feel a little sorry. I began to think within yourself, what have I done? What have I done to cause this to come upon me? Not only that, my friend, here Job was still a just man in the eyes of God. But his wife began to tell him, he said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" How many times have we gone about people that's fallen on hard times? Something bad has happened within their family or not within their neighborhood.
Right.
And then we see the sadness or the complaints begin to change. And we know there's something wrong. But yet we go to thinking things and talking things that we should not speak of.
That's right.
When they've not done a thing except to be a help or try to be a help or stay out of it all together and get pulled right into it.
Bless him, Lord.
How many times has that happened?
Good preaching.
You may say that to
bless him, Lord.
Feed your eye. I love them. I hear from them. I think about some things. Probably not work too, but they'll never know about it. They're a child of God, they'll know about it. The Bible said, "Try the Spirit, see if they're of me."
That's right.
It also said, "Your Spirit and bear witness with one another."
Yeah.
You can get around a brother and sister, there are things going on in their spirit that's very uncomfortable around you. You're going to know about it. You're going to know there's something there that you just don't want to be around at that time. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've had some people been around me and thought the same thing, Brother Shavers. Amen.
Bless your heart.
But we see that Job began to get into a situation there within himself and began to think about all of these things. In chapter 2, we see that how his friends, they came and they tried to comfort Job, and they tried to be there for him, and done everything they know what to do. But Job was in agony. He was in pain. He was struck with that boil from the top of his head up to the soles of his feet. And he sat in potash, scraping the walls with that pottery shells. But yet his wife came and said, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die instead of going through all this misery?" And he said, he talked like a foolish woman. Then his friends came to try to comfort him. And then we see that as Job goes on in verse chapter 3, rather, Job begins to curse the very day that he was born. Yeah. He begins to wish he had never come into this world. I have to go through all of this. I'm probably not wondering and not knowing and wondering what he had done. Because all of these things that come on him. My friend, these trials and these afflictions we have down here, our times are like affliction, considering and comparing to what we're going to have. One day or a while, when we get into that of heaven, we see in chapter 6 that Job begins to wish a wish for that of his death. How that he wished that he had never been born. And how he tries to take that his own life was sitting out in the morning sun. God allows the gourd to come up and overshadow him, to relieve the heat that's upon him. And my friend, we see that his friends begin to come against him. Throughout the book of Job, six different times, the friends that were set with him, they begin to say all matters of things against him. They begin to speak and say things within themselves. They do nothing. To cause Job probably to feel a little worse. He's already feeling five or six different times throughout the Word of God. We find Job having to deal with these friends and family members that come against him. Mm-hmm. But in chapter 9,
praise the Lord.
After everything that Job had done went through, Job begins to cry out and to realize, God.
Yeah.
God, I might have lost it all, but I can't afford to lose you.
Yeah. Amen.
Looks around and says, "Lord, don't frown me. My wife's come against me. My friends now have forsaken me. I've lost everything I was blessed with. No matter how far I go in life, no matter how bad it gets, I've still got you."
Amen.
Chapter 9 is a prayer that Job prayed. And from the time he prayed that prayer on through the book of Job, he just gets a little stronger and a little stronger.
Yeah.
Oh, he's hurting, he's miserable, and he's in pain. While he first sat on a big guilt trip, with something thrown in his life that was no fault of his own. His friends accusing him for everything you can possibly imagine. He's already feeling guilty enough. Why be persecuted by that of the friends and the family? My friends, a lot of times Christ said our very enemies is that of our own household.
Yeah.
And I found that to be true on a few occasions. But my friend, I'll tell you, the worst enemy we can have is that of self. When we go to watering in self-pity, we go to watering in guilt, that it's no fault of our own. But we sit there and we suffer in it, Brother Shakers, and we cut the blessings of God out. Because we're trying to figure out and got our mind on what we've done or what we could have done. I could not have said something, done something. I could not have just kept my mouth shut. But yet we go on and water in this until it begins to beat us down and our spirit and our consciousness begins to drop and we no longer have a fellowship that we once had with God. We're no longer receiving the joyful blessings of God that we once received. Our joy is not like it once was, and that we recall before this thing was sown in the midst of us. It happens, church. And we wrestle ourselves to death.
Amen.
In placing guilt where there's no need for guilt to be.
That's right.
Have you ever thought about that? I've never heard this preached. I've never heard it taught. I've never even thought about it myself. God won't meet with it this morning. That's how I got reality. I got a check of myself. And that was the first thing come to my mind. It was not a week went by that I didn't just eat myself up. And I've mentioned it to my wife many times. And I apologized on how many times. There was nothing I could have done. Just because we want to do something don't mean always we have to or we can do it. And if we can't do it, don't blame yourself because you didn't do it. The Bible said in the end of Job's life, from 9 to 42, Job did nothing but do a lot of suffering, calling out to God, asking for relief. But he never did get back in the pity state again. He continuously to march on for God because that's the only thing he felt he had in mind. Late was the Lord. And in Job 42, I believe it is, maybe 41, 42 or 41 chapters in Job, God said that he blessed Job twice as much as that which he lost. Why did he do that? He got out of his pity party. He got away from the guilt that he was forcing upon that of himself that he had no fault of on his own. Sure, it's about faith. It's about patience. I found out Job was far more than that, Brother Jerry. Far more than that. I want to just touch on one more place here just for a few minutes. Then I want to read some scripture. And then we'll probably be closing. The Bible said there was a man in chapter 9 of John. This man was born blind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus came up to him along with his disciples. The first thing out of their mouth, here's a blind man, born blind, could not see. Can you imagine how he lived? Can you imagine what his family was going through?
That's right.
This boy named may never get to work. We may have to keep him for the rest of our life. What happens to us? What happens to him then?
Amen.
Think about that. That's what they was having to go through. What are we going to do? Probably they reached the decision we'll just do the best we can and hold on to God. And here the disciples comes. Lord, who was it sinning? This young man, this blind boy here? Or his mom or his dad? Which one of them? Which one of them sinned? Right in the middle of what all was already going on, already they passed judgment. Mm-hmm. Of something they had no clue about.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Of something no doubt mom and dad was already feeling guilty about. Mm-hmm. You know, there's parents all over the face of this earth. A child is born with some defect and they blame themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. About that, Brother Shane?
Amen.
The Bible teaches me that God is the creator of all creations, and He creates us exactly the way He creates us.
That's right.
Mom and Dad had nothing to do with that. And I ain't talking about somebody slung out on dope and drank a child in the world. No, I ain't talking about something like that. I'm talking about some kind of a health problem that sometimes naturally happens. But a mom and dad will go through life of blaming themselves what they've done.
Yeah. Good preaching.
You know, I'm telling you the truth. I've been around them. I've heard them. I deal with one today. Still today. 20 years down the road, still deal with them. Both mom and dad were kind of a child's defect. They still carry guilt. But here the disciples is for everything they're going through and probably already went through and probably already thought about. Worried sick over their son. What's going to happen to them if something happens to them? Jesus, Lord, which one of them sinned? Was it the son? Or was it mom and dad? Look what Jesus says. Jesus answered, neither.
Amen.
Have this man sinned, nor his parents. But that the works of God should be manifest in him. See, what God was saying, he was going to do a great miracle.
Yeah.
And pour down a blessing out of heaven that mom and dad could not contain. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's what he was.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Praise the Lord. Bless him, Jesus.
He was going to perform a miracle that the Father may be glorified. At the same time, the punishment may be blessed beyond measure. But yet, the disciples, not the disciples. Just we carry around enough to give things, we don't need to be carrying it. It was no fault of our own. You'd be amazed what that'll take out of you eventually. What that'll do to you eventually. Just for a minute, I'll preach on you. How many of you think it's a good thing to carry around guilt or something you've done? How many of you think it's not a good thing to do that? Let's see the hands.
Yes, amen.
And the Bible teaches me this. Those knowing to do good, and dead not, them in the sin.
That's right.
I had to repent this morning, church. Because that was something not good for me to be carrying around. Now I got humble out there, Karen Swain said, borrowed it again, honey. Built it for her and I use it. Just for a moment. I can't go this other place I think I need to go, but I do want to go here. This is what I want to do. I want everyone to stand. Be your Bibles in the church. I'm going to start an altar call for these verses. Jerry, that's all. But I want you to listen to me closely. It's not going to do you one bit of good to carry something around that's going to fall to your home. If it's happened, it's happened. You know good and well you didn't cause it. That's one question I want to put forth to you. Here's the second question. It sure ain't going to do you no good to see a brother or sister hurt your life. Guilty already, feeling probably as miserable as they can, and then going around thinking, well, I wonder what they've done, they shouldn't have done. I wonder why they get the miserable from God, they shouldn't be getting. And it ain't God to get what they brought. It's themselves. It's themselves. It's like it's myself. That is the good question. They stayed between you and the Lord. Your pastor could not help you if you wanted to with these. Brother Eric, me, a brother or sister, couldn't help you with these if you wanted to before the Lord. The Lord can. The Bible says, seek him while he's near. Listen, as I read the Psalm of David, the musician. And this is a time in which David had been taken by the of the Philistines unto the of Gath. He is in a dire strait, a bad way. But David knew something. Verse 11, chapter 15. As I begin to read this, that will be the beginning of the altar call. If you like, and God's touched your heart, and God showed you something. And you know what you need to do. There's only one way to do it. There's no shame coming to the altar. There's a shame knowing you need to be here or not. The Bible said, if you be ashamed of my Father, I'll be ashamed of you before me. I don't want God to be ashamed of me. And I don't care when we get to the point that I'm ashamed to use this altar. That's where my help comes from. Not the altar from God, but it's through the humbleness and the showing that I have walked away that pride in my life in order to meet with him and listen to the words. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. Listen. What man can do to me at this, or what man can say about me. Not add to the word of God, but add that in your own words. 12 says, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee. David was in the great strength. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the life of the living? Guilt gets awful slippery sometimes. There might have been something you've done in your life, and you might ask forgiveness, and you just still feel like there's not forgiveness. But listen, you've done honestly today. But if your heart is something, Every now and then it comes up and just snipes at you. If there's ever a time to say, Lord, it's yours, I ain't carrying it no more, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. You know, God said, because of the humble they're saying, He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and cry loud, He said, then shall I hear from heaven and heal thy nation. He'll also heal that heart. And I say this, if there's something tearing at you and it just every now and then rears its ugly face and tries to throw you back in conviction of some form, you can't help it. God can rear it. God can get rid of you. God can remove it. And He can restore unto you the joy of your salvation. We call.